Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. We got a great show for you guys today to wrap up the week. We are finishing our Big Ten previews. Nebraska, the last team up, Robin Washit is going to join us here in a little bit to talk about the Nebraska Cornhuskers. We're also going to continue our AFC East preview. We dive into the Miami Dolphins today, look at Tua and company for the upcoming season. Full Major League Baseball slate. We got some trades happening. Randy Arozarena's on the Mariners. We got Austin Hayes on the Phillies. We'll break down some of that stuff. Kate Constable will join us for Model Making Money later on in the show, and we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays for today. As always, any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Go to twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports, especially anything on the Nebraska Cornhuskers, let us know, and we will get into that as well. If you guys miss any part of the show, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get this thing rolling. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Robin Washit is joining us. Give him a follow on X at Robin Washit, Nebraska senior team writer for Husker Online of the On3 Sports Network. Robin, great having you join us, man. Excited to talk to you. There's a lot of excitement about this Nebraska team. Obviously, Matt Rhule's track record as a college coach, what he's done at Temple, what he's done at Baylor, his teams tend to get better and better each and every year. Last season, Nebraska was 5-7, so what are the expectations in Lincoln this year, heading into year two under Matt Rhule?
Yeah, I think Nebraska right now is second in all of major college football as far as their bowl-less streak, and so getting back to the postseason is far and away priority number one. But I think if you kind of, especially coming off media days and some of the comments that Matt Rhule and his players made, it's not just a goal or a hope to make a bowl game. It's the kind of floor expectation. Like, they think they're going to be a pretty good team this year. And if you go back at, you know, Matt Rhule's last two college stops at Baylor and Temple, year one was always really rough. And, you know, they won one or two games both those first years. So technically Nebraska was a little bit ahead of schedule as far as his previous formula. But then year two was a pretty significant jump to where, you know, they were right around 500, maybe a little bit 500. And then year three, you know, you're looking at double-digit win totals. So that's kind of the expectation, I think, within the program. They're going to take a significant step, a tangible step forward, you know, get above 500 at the very least, and, you know, can make themselves a much more competitive team in the Big Ten picture. Now, they're still probably a couple years away from getting into the national conversation, but you kind of just look at the roadmap that Matt Rhule has followed everywhere he's been. This is kind of the year where you start to see things progress in a pretty notable way. So a lot of that is going to depend on their quarterback play. They're more than likely going to be relying on a true freshman under center and Dylan Raiola. They brought back the majority of their defense, which was really good last year. You know, they were a top 25 unit and was kind of the only reason they won five games, just because their offense was so bad. And so the expectation is that that defense is going to be as good, if not even a little bit better. And then now they have a little bit more firepower on offense. But again, it's all going to go on how quickly that true freshman Raiola adjusts to the Big Ten level and is able to kind of operate things, you know, in his first taste of college football.
Yeah, Robert, I bet on Jeff Sims way too many times last year. I'm sure plenty of our viewers can relate to that as well. So I'm excited to see what Dylan Raiola can do this year for Nebraska. What's the excitement level around him, right? Because Matt Rhule obviously is entering year two. Raiola was at Georgia. Obviously, this is a kid who's a big-time commit, a lot of potential. What's the excitement around him potentially in this offense?
Yeah, it's really high. I mean, I think a lot of people, you know, at least the sane ones, are kind of understanding the situation that there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. The quarterbacks weren't open for contact during spring ball, and so he looked good. He showed a lot of encouraging flashes, you know, just with his overall arm talent, his understanding of the game for being such a young player, and then just, you know, his poise. You know, he's kind of got that swagger to him that you would expect from a five-star who was, depending on the service rate, of the number one quarterback in his class. So that in itself is kind of fueling a lot of the optimism. And while there's a little bit of cautiousness there, just to see how he responds when the bullets start flying for real, the talent there appears to be undeniable. And then it's just a matter of how quickly everything kind of catches up with the speed of the game. But, you know, just from pure, you know, quarterback talent standpoint, this is as good of a player as Nebraska's had in a long, long time, you know, especially as a true pocket passer. Easily the highest profile quarterback Nebraska's ever recruited. Granted, guys like Tommy Frazier didn't have recruiting profiles and all that. But when you look at the modern era, you know, this is kind of rare territory for Nebraska, to where they've got a guy that, you know, they beat Georgia for. And that has not gone unnoticed. And it's just a matter of, you know, again, how quickly he can get up to speed and how smooth that transition starts out. And I guess the good news for him is the schedule is really manageable. You know, the Colorado game stands out as a test, but really beyond that, you know, Nebraska's got a pretty favorable start. They don't leave Nebraska until the end of September, and so they get a lot of home game tune-ups. And you go back, you mentioned Jeff Sims, you know, they were at Minnesota in their very first game, then they were at Colorado in Deion's home opener. Like, those were two pretty difficult environments for a first-year quarterback to try to get things going. And they lost that Minnesota game in really gut-punch fashion. They were beating Colorado deep into the third quarter, and then they just couldn't stop giving the ball away. And so those two games really just disrupted everything for the rest of the year. You know, Jeff Sims, you know, couldn't figure it out between the years, and then they didn't have any other solutions at quarterback, and they couldn't stay out of their way all year. And they still won five games. And so that's kind of where this thing, if Nebraska can just stop leading the nation in turnovers and figure out a way to help their defense a little bit, with the schedule being as seemingly favorable as it is, you know, there's a really good opportunity for them to take that year two jump that most people are expecting them to take.
That was a really good point about their schedule at the start of last season, because you really don't see that a ton in college football, Robin. As you know, a lot of times teams either choose that one week one or week two game to kind of be their cupcake. Maybe they'll play like a big out-of-conference game. But for Nebraska off the bat to start with two Power 5 teams on the road, that was a tough spot. I'm looking at their road schedule, and the home schedule is kind of – they're going to be favored in every home game that they play. You mentioned the Colorado game, but there's a very good shot that Nebraska goes 7-0 at home this season. The road schedule is going to be tough, though. They're probably going to lose that game at Ohio State. What was the other game that you looked at, though, on the road this season and thought that's going to be the toughest one to win? Is it the game at Purdue? Is it the one at Indiana, a team that we all expect to be one of the worst teams in the conference, but that's the week before Ohio State? Or is it the road game at USC or at Iowa for you?
So here's an interesting note about Nebraska's road schedule. For one, every single road game that they play in conference is their opponent's homecoming game, which means that they're all coming off a bye. And so Nebraska's going to be at an inherent disadvantage just in terms of rest and preparation in every single one of those road games. And so, you know, Indiana, they're a weird team. I think they're going to put up a ton of yards and a lot of points, but I think that defense is really suspect. And if Nebraska has some early season momentum, you know, that could be one where, you know, it might be difficult, more difficult than some people think, but I think Nebraska should have a good chance. But beyond Ohio State, as far as difficulty is concerned, you know, going to USC, I don't know what to expect from USC. You know, they're a weird team. They're replacing a lot. But that's just going to be such a unique game, especially mid-November. You know, a lot can shake out between now and then. So I guess for me, you know, that Indiana game is going to be interesting just because of the potential circumstances that could be surround that game, especially if both those teams get off to surprising starts. You know, there could be some stakes there. But really, after that, for me, it comes down to the Iowa game. You know, if both those teams do what they expect to do this year, that could have significant Big Ten conversations, implications, to where those teams could be playing for quite a bit. And that's a night game on November 29th in Iowa City. So a lot of interesting dynamics surrounding that one. Iowa's got a really favorable schedule, too. And they're as experienced defensively as any team in the country. They expect to be much better on offense. So I would put that game right up there behind Ohio State. As far as difficulty is concerned for Nebraska, you know, Ohio State's going to be a championship-level team, but I think Iowa is going to be a beast, especially in that setting, under the lights on Black Friday.
It's a great point. We were previewing Iowa last week, Robin, and they're also a team, much like Nebraska, that avoids Michigan, Penn State, and Oregon this year. So to your point, very favorable schedule. I'll leave you with this. What is your prediction for the Cornhuskers this year? Vegas has their win total at 7.5. It feels like they're probably going to be a 7 or an 8 win team. Maybe the upside is like 10 wins, drop the Ohio State game, maybe another one of those road games as well. But ultimately, how do you see the season playing out for Nebraska?
Yeah, I've been trying to keep it conservative, so I've been going with 7-5, but 8 wins certainly would not surprise me. And then again, if they beat Colorado and do so convincingly, I mean, that's going to be a game that everyone in the country is going to be watching. It's, you know, night game, and there's just a lot surrounding that game with the rivalry and the history between those teams, and then what happened last year. If they win that game and do so, like I said, in relatively emphatic fashion, like you said, there's a real opportunity for them to start the season 7-0, and then, you know, maybe potentially be undefeated going into Ohio State. And if they do that, then all of a sudden, you know, they're at that 7 win total with some winnable games beyond that. That, you know, 8 wins becomes obviously much more realistic, and then who knows what after that. But, you know, I've said so many years that if Nebraska does this earlier in the season, it sets the tone. Well, they've lost those games. You know, they went to Ireland and lost to Northwestern on a ridiculous onside kick. You know, they literally gave the game away against Minnesota, did the same thing against Colorado, and it completely derailed their season. To go back 3 years ago, they lost their opening game at Illinois in just really difficult fashion, and it disrupted everything that they did in terms of momentum. So the opportunity is there for them to really get off to a hot start. And you've seen it over the years across all of college football. When teams kind of get a little bit of mojo going through that first part of the season, it completely changes the dynamic for that back stretch. And if Nebraska can do that, if they can capitalize on this favorable first half of the schedule, you know, anything's possible. But for now, I'm going to believe it I'll see it before I believe it mode. I think a lot of Nebraska fans are in that same boat. So I'm sticking with 7-5 with the potential of a much higher ceiling.
Very good. Robin Washington, a lot of good stuff there on Nebraska. Give him a follow on X at Robin Washington, Nebraska's senior team writer for Husker Online of the On3 Sports Network, joining us here on Send It In. Robin, great meeting you. Have a great season, and hopefully Nebraska goes 7-0, and maybe we're previewing that Ohio State game midway through the season. Would be a lot of fun. Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, no thanks. I just want to go back to a bowl. That's all I want.
There you go. There you go. Robin Washington joining us there on Nebraska, which I think they will this year. As we mentioned, as we continue our preview of Nebraska, the over-under is 7.5 this year for Nebraska. So comfortably inside that line for them to make a bowl game. Obviously, you got to win 6 games in college football to make a bowl. The over is juice -130 for Nebraska. The under is +110. For them to win the Big Ten this year, 50-1 odds. For them to make the college football playoff, +900. And for them to win the national championship, 200-1. When I look at Nebraska's schedule, as I was mentioning with Robin, what jumps out to me is the road schedule is very difficult for Nebraska, and the home schedule is extremely easy. Can't remember, as we've done like two and a half weeks of previews, I can't really remember a contrast in home and road schedule like Nebraska has. I legitimately think they can win all their home games. They're home against UTEP, home against Colorado, home against Northern Iowa, home against Illinois. They should go 4-0 off the bat. Then you host Rutgers, you host UCLA. We're talking about some of the worst teams projected in the Big Ten. Colorado obviously has Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, a lot of hype there. I think Nebraska's going to win that game. They can go undefeated at home this year. The road schedule is what's difficult. Robin gave us a great nugget, too, about all the teams that Nebraska's playing on the road this year will be their homecoming game. All those teams are going to have bye weeks coming in to the Nebraska game as well. Ohio State's probably going to be a loss. USC, Iowa is going to be difficult road games as well. And then Indiana and Purdue. Purdue's not an easy place to play. And as I mentioned with Indiana, that's the week before Ohio State. If Nebraska's undefeated at that point in the season and potentially looking ahead to Ohio State, that could be a very dangerous game. And Indiana coming off of a bye week as well before they play Nebraska, very advantageous for the Hoosiers. So their schedule is a little bit tricky. Looking at the win total, though, because I do think that they're going to go 7-0 at home this season, let's say that they go 6-1 at home, I do think they're going to potentially win one of those road games against either USC or Iowa, potentially. And then the road games against Purdue and Indiana, again, very winnable. You think they win one of those, if not both. So you do got to lay some juice for the over, minus 130. They do have an extremely talented quarterback that Robin was talking about, Dylan Raiola. They haven't really had a guy that talented this young as a true freshman in a lot of years at Nebraska. And just the track record of Matt Rhule, I mean, his teams just gradually get better and better and better in a short period of time. His track record going back to Temple and Baylor. So you just kind of continue to believe in what Matt Rhule's done as a college football coach, and you think that Nebraska won five games last year, probably going to be an 8 or 9 win team this year. Nothing I really love on Nebraska all too much, but I think over 7.5 wins for the Cornhuskers is a good bet for the upcoming season. All right, let's talk about the Miami Dolphins here on Send It In. As we look at the AFC East, and the Miami Dolphins obviously made the playoffs last year. The stat that I want you guys to remember about the Miami Dolphins from last season, they were 1-5 against teams that made the playoffs last season. They were 10-1 against teams that didn't make the playoffs last season. Against those teams they played who made the postseason, Miami 1-5 in those games, scored 20 points or fewer. Then in the games against non-playoff teams, 10-1 record, scored 20 points or more in all of those games. Miami was a real simple team to figure out last year. When they played a team that was as good as them, if not better, they would lose that game and their offense wouldn't show up. When they played teams that they were superior towards, their offense would show out and they would blow out those opponents. And to me, that comes back to the head coach in Mike McDaniel. A lot of people love Mike McDaniel. He's this quirky, nerdy, offensive genius. He's an incredible offensive mind. But as far as an NFL head coach, as far as a leader of men, wouldn't be my first choice. I think he's a bit overrated as a head coach. And isn't it funny what a difference a year makes and the perception around Tua heading into this season? Whenever we previewed the Miami Dolphins, anytime we would talk anything future market regarding Miami, the conversation would always start and end with how many games would Tua play? Would he play 10? Would he play 12? Would he play 15? None of us thought he could make it through a whole season. And now he goes through 1 year unscathed. And isn't it incredible that now whenever anybody talks about the Dolphins, do you ever hear them bring up Tua? Do you ever hear them bring up about Tua's injury history or that any concern that he's going to stay healthy for a full season? We talk about that with Joe Burrow. We talk about that with Lamar Jackson. Talk about that with Aaron Rodgers. Deservedly so. But we really haven't been talking about that with Tua this offseason. I think that's absolutely something we have to consider with the Dolphins and looking at their team this year. It's great that he was able to get through 1 year fully healthy and really didn't even have very many close calls. It's not like Tua went into a week and he was a true 50-50 game time decision. We pretty much knew each and every week Tua was going to be out there for the Dolphins, and it was great to see him get through a full season. I got to see it again, though. And he's obviously so much a part of what they want to do because of the passing attack and because of the receivers that they have on the outside. The Dolphins have superstars all over the field. They have incredible receivers, as we know. They have great players on defense. They replace Vic Fangio with a young defensive coordinator, Anthony Weaver, who comes over from the Ravens. I think he's going to be really good. I just think we're not talking enough about Tua's availability and how that's still a question mark for me, and it doesn't seem like it's a lot for a bunch of people anymore. And then the AFC as a whole is just, it's a really good conference, and the Dolphins struggle against really good teams. This year, they got to play 7 games against teams that made the playoffs last season. On top of that, they obviously have to play the Jets twice, who a lot of people think are going to be much better. They have to go on the road and play at Seattle. And then they also have to play at the Colts as well. And I think the Colts are going to win the AFC South. So the schedule is much tougher for the Dolphins this year. Tua, I got to see him be able to stay healthy. I'm not sold on Mike McDaniel, the head coach. I think he's an incredible offensive mind and offensive play caller. But I think the Dolphins to miss the playoffs at plus 130 is absolutely a bet. Wouldn't bet them to win the AFC East, obviously, or win the AFC, win the Super Bowl. I'm down on the Dolphins this year. Wouldn't touch their win total. I like the plus 130 on Miami to miss the playoffs for the upcoming season. All right, let's talk some baseball. A little big league peach here on Send It In to wrap up the week. We got trades going on right now in the MLB. We got all 30 teams in action as well. We'll start with the Guardians and the Phillies. Christopher Sanchez on the mound today for the Phils, going up against Ben Lively and the Guardians. Sanchez has been spectacular at home this season. 6-1 with a 1.50 ERA. It feels like the line is about right in this game at minus 175, so I take the Phillies, maybe throw them in a parlay. Twins and Tigers tonight, Pablo Lopez against Keiter Montero for the Tigers. I would take the over 8 in this game. Montero's given up 5 earned runs or more in his last 2 starts, whereas Pablo Lopez faced the Tigers earlier this season, and he gave up 5 earned runs as well. I'm expecting the over today in Detroit, Minnesota. I like the over 8. Padres and Orioles tonight in Baltimore. You got Adam Mazur on the mound against Grayson Rodriguez. The Padres, as we know, are coming off of a no-hitter yesterday. Dylan Cease throwing that for the Padres. I'd love to know what the record for teams are after no day's rest coming off of a no-hitter. It just feels like a natural letdown spot, especially in the middle of the season. Game 102, 103, you're going through the grind of a season. Somebody throws a no-hitter. You're celebrating like you won a playoff series. Gatorade, Bass, all galore. It just seems like a tough turnaround, especially going up and playing against the Orioles, who play to the level of their competition. I like the Orioles on the run line tonight, -1.5 at plus 100. Also, give me the Blue Jays today on the money line against the Rangers. Yusei Kikuchi against Andrew Haney. This is just one of those stinky lines. Texas has won 5 straight games. Meanwhile, the Blue Jays have lost 6 of their last 7 when Kikuchi has been on the mound. Yet Toronto's favored today. I'll take the Jays at minus 120. Kodai Senga returns for the Mets tonight, making his first start of the year against Charlie Morton. Think the Braves are too big of dogs tonight in this spot. Senga is a great pitcher, but again, he's making his first start of the year. I'll take Atlanta plus 120 on the money line. Give me the over in Red Sox and Yankees. Big 3-game series starting tonight in Fenway between those two teams. Both are struggling. I'll take the over 9.5. I think we get some runs tonight. Also like the over in Royals and Cubs as well between Kyle Hendricks and Brady Singer. Two teams that are not that great offensively, but we got a high total of 9. Think the over is the play. Astros are going to be my favorite play in baseball today, minus 125 against the Dodgers, because how many times do you see the Dodgers as underdogs? Framber Valdez on the mound for the Astros. I'll take Houston at minus 125. Give me the under in White Sox and Mariners tonight. George Kirby on the mound against the White Sox. I don't see the Sox scoring many runs, and obviously the Mariners offense not very good. I'll take an under there. And then finally, give me the over 7.5 in Cardinals and Nationals. Mackenzie Gore, Sonny Gray. When these two teams faced off 2.5 weeks ago, both of them gave up 5 earned runs against each other's offense. I'll take the over once again, 7.5 between the Nats and the Cardinals. Let's go to Model Making Money now. Check in with Kate Constable standing by here on a Friday. Kate, before we get into your plays, what are the 5-star plays that the BetQL model has for us today?
Sue. Hey, PJ. Five-star plays today. Rays money line against the Reds. Minus 110 on both sides. Basically, a pick 'em here. Rays just traded Randy Arozarena. So maybe this is one of those spots where the team kind of, you know, after one of their star players leaves, moves on, the rest of the team kind of rallies together and they get a win tonight. The model is projecting Rays money line, a five-star player.
All right, very nice, Kate. I love a good narrative play. I think that's a good angle. Before I get to your best bets, the people want to know what the play is in Northwestern and Minnesota in the Big Ten title game and if we should lay the 3.5 with Northwestern over the weekend. Check this video out.
First and goal from the 10. Stopped by that big defensive tackle up front.
They didn't catch the defense blitzing, so it wasn't a great look anyway. But up front, they just got beat regardless. Is that back?
You got to send and you got to invite those defensive linemen up the field and kind of push them by. And you could tell, they didn't do that. They didn't create any holes. There was really no room.
Third down play from the gun. Starting to feel a little pressure. Touchdown, Northwestern!
Let's go!
Oh, that's awesome. I think all of us, Kate, relate to your husband there in that moment. So give us a little backstory. Your husband right now is playing the college football video game, and he's playing as Northwestern, correct?
He is. Northwestern is his team. He just beat Minnesota pretty handedly. And then what you just saw there, that fist pump, was a game-winning drive against Oregon to send his team to the Big Ten championship against Ohio State. So that's on the deck. Coming up, I mean, it's going to be a tough one. They already faced Ohio State once during the regular season, lost that one, so a rematch. But I mean, it's going to be a big game. We got to be ready in this house.
What are we setting the line at for that game? I assume Ohio State's probably the favorites coming in, maybe like -3, -3.5, or something like that. Do you think, all biases aside, do you think we take the Purple Cats with the points in that game?
I think if we're going to get the 3.5. Then I think you go with the Cats. They only lost by a touchdown the first time they played neutral site here. That time was at the Shoe too. So on the road, they only lost by a touchdown. I think you take the +3.5. You're getting that hook, neutral site, big time game. I say you ride with the Cats. Why not?
I'm in. Love it. Absolutely love it. Kate, what else are we riding with today? What are some of your favorite bets for today?
Yeah, we're going to go over to the Diamond Royals money line against the Cubs tonight. You do have to lay a little bit. It's -148 at BetMGM, so a little juicy there. I couldn't talk you off of like wanting to play the run line, though, and get a much better price. But the Cubs are going with Kyle Hendricks on the mound today. He's just 2-8. He's got a 6.69 ERA, 12 earned runs allowed over his last four starts, and he's even worse on the road, 1-4 with an ERA over 7. Hendricks also not going to get a ton of run support from the Cubs. Their bats have been pretty pedestrian as of late. And Brady Singer is on the bump for the Royals. He's been really fantastic lately, only allowed one run or fewer in four of his last five starts. So he's been pitching great today. I think it's worth laying a little juice for the Royals money line.
All right, very good. Kate, I want to get your thoughts on the Miami Dolphins. We were just talking about them as we're previewing some of the AFC East teams. Feels like a lot of people, you know, some like the Bills, some like the Jets, some like the Dolphins in the AFC East. I'm not big on the Dolphins this year. What are your thoughts on Miami?
PJ, they're kind of one of those teams that I'm just kind of like, ugh. I don't necessarily love them. I don't really hate them either. I would look towards the under on their win total, I think, just because what they've showed is they still don't know how to play in cold weather, which is a big problem. And, I mean, makes sense. They're in Miami 95% of the time, but you go on the road late in the season and you play in some of these cold weather games, and more times than not, they're losses. And if you look at the back third of the Dolphins' schedule, they play at Green Bay, at Cleveland, and at New York. Those are all have the potential to be snowy, cold, just weather games. So I'm not super high on the Dolphins. I certainly wouldn't take them to win this division or win the conference, anything like that. So they're just a team that I'm probably going to be fading in some spots, but they might just be an overall stay away from me based on some of their performances in previous seasons.
Yeah, totally fair. We'll see what the Dolphins do for the upcoming season. She's Kate Constable joining us here on Send It In. Kate, good luck on your bets tonight. Good luck to Northwestern against Ohio State in the Big Ten championship as well. We'll all be rooting for your husband to hopefully win the Big Ten.
Thank you, PJ. I'll have an update for you guys next week.
Sounds good. Looking forward to that. And for those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, let's get in now to our favorite plays for today. Little PJ's plays. We will start with going streaking, and we'll take Manny Machado against Grayson Rodriguez. Manny is back in Baltimore. Love ourselves a little narrative play. Think Manny has a good day. I'll take Manny Machado to get a base hit. My prop lock staying in that game. Again, the battle of shortstops. We all thought as Orioles fans that Manny would be our shortstop of the future. Turned out to be Gunnar Henderson, at least we hope. So I think both Manny and Gunnar with some good games today. Getting -105, Gunnar over 1.5 total bases. The power has not been there recently for Gunnar. I think that's a good play today. I'll go over 1.5 total bases for him. Dog of the day is going to be the Braves, +120 against the Mets. Think this is a good spot to fade New York just because they got so much momentum right now. Kodai Senga's back, but should he be this big a favorite in his first start back? I'll take the Braves at +120. Shawnee Sharp's going with Mariners, White Sox, first five under 3.5 tonight. And give me the Dolphins to miss the playoffs this season at +130. Once again, our best bets for today. Manny Machado is our pick in going streaking against Grayson Rodriguez. Gunnar Henderson over 1.5 total bases is going to be our prop lock. The Braves +120 against the Mets is going to be our dog of the day. Shawnee Sharp's taking the first five under 3.5 in Mariners and White Sox. My best bet, Miami Dolphins to miss the playoffs for the upcoming season. Thanks again to Robin Washit, Kate Constable for joining us here on Send It In. We hope everybody has a great week. Enjoy the start of the Olympics. We'll catch you on Monday. We'll be talking some Bama and some New York Jets as well. And as always, if you missed any part of the show or any of our other previews in the NFL or college football, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.